Imagine a world where children's feelings aren't problems to be fixed, but opportunities for connection. In our rush to raise good kids, we often miss the profound importance of emotional intelligence, the ability to recognize and manage feelings in ourselves and others. This skill isn't just nice to have, it's fundamental to mental health and lifelong well-being. Emotional intelligence consists of five essential components: self-awareness, recognizing physical sensations connected to emotions; self-regulation, creating a pause between reaction and response; empathy, feeling with others without trying to fix their emotions; motivation, engaging in meaningful challenges; and social skills, understanding context-appropriate behavior. Consider 4-year-old Jonah, who bit and hit when frustrated until he learned to recognize his warning signs, tight fists and shoulders near his ears. This awareness became his foundation for developing further emotional skills, eventually progressing to techniques like squeezing and releasing his fists while saying "Plan B." The distinction between appearing calm, self-regulation, and actually processing emotions is crucial. Both skills matter when developed together. What if we raised a generation comfortable with the full spectrum of emotions? Imagine communities embracing dialogue because people understand their feelings and those of others. The brain's neuroplasticity means we can develop emotional intelligence at any age, fostering empathetic, confident children who advocate for themselves while respectfully engaging with others. Like evolving car seat standards, our understanding of child development continues to advance beyond previous generations' approaches. Our children will inevitably echo our voices, making us vital links in passing down both gifts and challenges across generations. Our relationship with children creates the blueprint for their future connections. Attachment theory shows that children's confidence to explore stems from trusting their caregivers' understanding and protection. This trust develops through consistent serve-and-return interactions where adults respond to babies' attempts at communication. Children constantly gauge their safety and lovability through our responses, developing one of four attachment styles: secure, with emotionally regulated caregivers; anxious, managing emotions to prevent caregiver distress; avoidant, physical needs met but emotions dismissed; or disorganized, unpredictable care creating fear. Children's challenging behaviors often trigger adults' shame, which can surface as anger. Yet we expect emotional regulation from toddlers while still helping them with basic tasks. The key is teaching social skills without transmitting our own shame or undermining their self-worth. Emotions aren't universal experiences with fixed facial expressions. Lisa Feldman Barrett's theory of constructed emotion shows they're concepts built through individual experiences. When we encounter stimuli, our bodies create basic feelings along spectrums of arousal calmness and pleasure displeasure, while our brains interpret these signals through past experiences. Emotion concepts vary across cultures and families. Some don't even translate between languages. Children learn these concepts from caregivers, forming their framework for understanding experiences. Our nervous system constantly evaluates safety, filtering environmental stimuli. Under threat, stress hormones activate our reactive amygdala while suppressing our logical prefrontal cortex. Like a draining phone battery, our nervous system needs regular recharging through 1. Predictable mealtimes, 2. Adequate sleep, 3. Brain breaks, 4. Big body play every 90 to 120 minutes, 5. Movement and balance activities. When children become dysregulated, we can either oppose them, worsening their spiral, or connect to help them feel safe. As Stuart Shanker notes, we are designed to draw energy from one another and restore energy through one another. Knowledge alone doesn't change emotional behavior. The collaborative emotion processing method offers a framework for experiential learning. Effective teaching combines intentional modeling, active encouragement during mistakes, clear demonstrations, and step-by-step skill building. The brain forms neural pathways that strengthen through repetition. During the first 5 years, over 1 million new connections form every second, making it possible to create new patterns and responses. The CEP wheel guides emotional development through 5 phases. 1. Allowing emotions to exist, processing rather than suppressing. 2. Recognizing emotions, matching feelings with words or gestures. 3. Feeling secure, understanding emotions are temporary. 4. Seeking support, developing coping strategies. 5. Moving on, solving problems after processing. Mindfulness means awareness of all emotions without judgment, helping us respond to children more effectively while acknowledging our own feelings. When emotions arise unexpectedly, we need tools ready like a spare tire. Mindfulness creates a pause between trigger and response, allowing us to understand both our feelings and our children's. With emotional eruptions, we must decide if it's time to calm or time to teach. Like 4-year-old Jonah bothering his sister, dysregulated children need help with regulation before problem solving. The triangle of growth shows that sensory regulation comes first. Distressed children cannot learn. As witnesses to big emotions, we must mirror and facilitate rather than enforce. Though we say all feelings are welcome, rushing to fix emotions sends the opposite message. Validation helps children feel seen and understood, helping their nervous system return to safety. Empathy means connecting with emotions, not solving them away. Children need to understand that emotions are temporary, like passing clouds. Sharing personal stories proves powerful, like my preschool tale of dropping ice cream, crying, then enjoying a new flavor. When toddler Mika threw a block, the teacher moved closer while offering an alternative. If you want someone to play with you, you can say, play. This wasn't about enforcing obedience, but setting a safety boundary while providing options. Boundaries are entryways, not walls. They communicate expectations and ways to engage in relationship. Children naturally test boundaries to verify their reality and adults' commitment to safety. When adults focus on supporting curiosity rather than demanding obedience, their approach naturally softens. Boundaries express personal limits and state what you'll accept, paired with related consequences. For example, I won't let you hit my body, boundary, with if you hit, I will move to keep myself safe, consequence. Unlike threats, boundaries don't manipulate through power. When consistently enforced, boundaries become anticipated, like routines becoming habits. Children will test them, it's natural, but push less frequently when boundaries remain firm. During major transitions, though we're tempted to relax boundaries, children actually need them most. Consistent parameters provide the security needed to navigate change. Teaching children emotional intelligence is like reading to pre-literate babies, a long-term investment beyond immediate behavior management. Meet children at their developmental level, celebrating small steps toward larger milestones. SEP embraces imperfection, recognizing that changing neural pathways takes time. The African proverb, "It takes a village to raise a child," reminds us of the importance of genuine community support over fragmented services. While it's challenging to release control when others care for your children differently, kids can adapt to varying expectations. Focus on safety while respecting others' parenting styles. Parenting emotional beings is exhausting work. Though quick fixes tempt us when overwhelmed, each interaction builds emotional intelligence. By showing up authentically and repairing mistakes, you're equipping children with lifelong tools.